Today's daf is daf Nun Aleph, and we continue the adventures of Bar Kappara and Rebbe. So we were up to Omele Bar Kappara, Labarte, which is five lines down from the top of Nun Aleph Omele Aleph. Omele Bar Kappara, Labarte de Rebbe. Rebbe tells Bar Kappara's daughter, I'm telling you that Lamocher Shatina Chamer Berikuda de Abuch Ubikirkani de Imach. I am going to attend that wedding, come hell or high water. They invite me, they don't invite me. I'm going to be there. This was another wedding. This was the wedding of Ben Alasa's son, which is a grandson already. This is a later story. The Medrash expands upon this story. Again, they refused to invite Bar Kappara. And this time, he also went the night before to the Chasana Hall, and he plastered the Chasana Hall with signs designed to make everyone miserable. So he would put in different psukim, Ma yitron the kosum chatchem mavet, breaking a big deal about a chosun and kal are going to be dead in no time, what's this point? And then everybody walks in, oh my God, they all go home. They have to cancel the wedding. So they redid the wedding, this time inviting Bar Kappara. This is like a multi-million dollar wedding, you have to understand. This is Ben Alasa, who was like even richer than Rebbe. So Bar Kappara comes to the wedding, and we have this whole story over here about how he drove everybody nuts at the wedding, and finally they stood up and walked out of the wedding. The parents got up and walked out of the wedding. But it says in the Medrash that all the food was coming out cold. This was in the beginning of the wedding. All the food comes out cold. And Rebbe is furious. He says, what's going on? Do you realize how much money was spent? He screams, calls in the maitre d'. The maitre d' says, I don't know what to do. It's not my fault. Every time the waiters are ready to come out, some old guy comes in and starts cracking jokes, telling them stories, and they can't move. They're in stitches. So Rebbe says, oh my God, it's Bar Kappara. So he calls Bar Kappara, why are you doing this to me? He says, I didn't want you to think I came for the food. Anyway, so as part of the Bar Kappara Rebbe adventures, so here Bar Kappara tells Rebbe's daughter, look, you think that I'm not going to be at the wedding, I'm telling you. Tomorrow I'm going to be drinking and high, dancing with your dad, and having your mom pour me drinks. Why? You just watch. So anyway, we don't get the story of how he got, made sure he was invited, but he was invited. How's he going to get them to dance with him? So Ben Alasa was chatting the Rebbe Abi Osher Godol. And so in the end, Azmei Leveilula, the Rebbe Shimon Berei. So he ended up inviting him. So Bar Kappara at this thing tells Rebbe, and then meanwhile this is like at the main table, you understand, with the family, the parents of the bride. And he starts bringing up every kinky sexual issue that he can at a wedding. It's very, very inappropriate. So he says to them, tell me something. How do you understand this business of the homosexual toeva? What's this toeva? So called Omele Rebbe, any explanation Rebbe would give of toeva, Porcha Bar Kappara, Bar Kappara showed that that's not what it means. Omele, so he says, okay, do me a favor, you just tell us what it means, okay? So Parshayat. Omele, now wait a minute, not so fast. First, Tete Devitri, Etirmili Natlachat. I want your wife to come and pour me a cup of schnapps here. I didn't, okay, so fine. Ramulay. Amulay the Rebbe read. Now hold on. Kumra Kodli. You're gonna dance with me, Dame Ralacha. Then I'll tell you. So okay, so Rebbe dances with him. So he says, Hachi Amarachmana. Toeva means toe ataba. It means you're going off. Why are you leaving your heterosexual relationships to wander off into this? Comes time for another cup. This time he says, what do you think is everybody so hung up about this sleeping with animals? This tevel here. What would be so bad if your daughter was sleeping with an animal? This is just terrific. So he says, again, he starts giving an explanation. Kinyona kama. Every explanation that Rebbe gives, Bar Kappara shows him it's just his own personal feelings. It's nothing to do with what Torah says. Oh. Okay, so he says, all right, so you tell me. He says, no, first of all, I got to get another glass poured by your wife, and then you got to dance with me, and all right. So Omer le'evidli da'omer le'chova, Omer le'tevel, who is a lashon of tmiha, tavlin yeshba. What is so exciting? What is it so spicy to be sleeping with an animal? Mishanya hara bia min kulon bia. It's all generic stuff, man. I mean, once you're into interspecies breeding, so then it's all the same. So why is this better? Omer le'is, the Rebbe is already intrigued. Says, my zima, what does zima mean? Zima has to do with sending your daughter out for hire. Zima means, Amalei, first he says, Avikin Yanakadma. You gotta do what I told you before. I want another cup, I want to dance, over. Amalei, Zima means Zomahi. What is this? Because you'll never know who impregnated her. Anyway, Lo Yachol ben Alasa Lamizbal, so ben Alasa couldn't take it anymore. He was nauseated. So Komi gets up, walks out of the wedding. Nafakuve into the, he and his wife walked out of their own wedding. Okay, that's the end of that part of the Bar Kapora story. It's the same idea. Bar Kapora did not like people extrapolating from their own experiences. That's the point. Stop taking yourself so seriously. Because you laugh, and the world suffers. You have homophobia, so therefore the Torah has homophobia. You don't like kinky sex, therefore the Torah has a level. Who cares what you feel? But a toiva means it's disgusting. What is that supposed to mean? To God, it's disgusting. There's some kind of difference. What's toiva giving you? An absolute description of disgust? There's such a thing as an absolute description of disgust? So it has to mean something objective. It's toyataba, that if you take a look, basically, the entire structure of human relationships, it seems good, but it's not, doesn't work. Toyataba, you're moving out, you're moving off of the path that is sustainable. It's not sustainable. So you're moving off. Toyataba means to move off, go in the wrong direction.
Is this the right setting?
Well, that's the whole point. You make a wedding into this big sacred thing, right? And I'll prove to you that it isn't really, it's just your own nonsense. Because the moment I'll bring up, we all know what a wedding is for. So the moment I'll bring up any issue that has to do with sex, they'll walk out of the wedding. Watch. That is brilliant. He just wouldn't let go. It's very difficult, man, to have as a friend. Anyway, what's this Ben Alasa? What was he famous for? He was very famous, Ben Alasa. The Tanya. Lo lechinam, pizer Ben Alasa ma'otav. This guy would pay hundreds of thousands of dollars for haircuts. Why did he do that? It was lahar otan tisporet shel kohen gadol. Since it says in Yecheskel, kasom yifsumu et rosheihem. What does exactly that mean, to be chosem? So, Tana, what does that mean? In the Brisa, it says kagon lulinit. Apparently it was some type of Roman, fancy Roman cut. What is that? My lulinit. Amrevina tisparte yechidat. It's a very unique haircut, in which each hair is treated as an individual. Echidomi, what exactly do you do? Amarava rosho shel zeh b'tzad ikaro shel zeh. The tip of one hair has to touch the base of the next hair.
There's a picture in Stein's house.
Is it?
See it?
Yes, yes. Just so we can learn what it isn't.
What it isn't.
Classic.
That's like the 50s hair parlor.
But it has nothing to do with what the guy is talking about. It's insane. It's amazing. He does this every time.
Oh, man.
I mean, I understand you got to do something with all these downloaded images, but after all, there has to have some relationship to them. Incredible. Okay. Behind this part of Kohen Gadol, so he wanted to illustrate to people what exactly this part of Kohen Gadol is, so that's why he would spend his money. But the Lat Har Mutza, so the Lat Har Mutza, of course, reminds us of the word remetz. Remetz means on hot coals, burning coals. Mashma, it's a way of producing pumpkins. However, it's actually a machlokas. My delat harmutza, Omar Shmuel, it's a Circassian kara. Karakarkuzoa, so it's a type of species of pumpkin. Whereas Rav Ashi Amar Delata Tumuna Berem, it's no, it means harmutza, that you keep it, you put it under hot coals, and that way it gets, it's like in a barbecue, what you do to potatoes, you do this for pumpkin. Edvei Ravina Rav Ashi, I'll prove to you that it's not a way of producing or cooking pumpkin, that it's actually a species of pumpkin. This is Rav Nechemia Omer. Delat Aramit, he delat Hamit Srit, is kelayim with the dalat hayivanit, which is kelayim with harmutza. So obviously harmutza is a type of dalat. So we have different, we have the aramit dalat, the yivanit dalat, and the harmutza dalat, but it can't be a way of preparing it, otherwise it's absurd. It has nothing to do with kelayim, obviously, tiyufta. That indeed proves solidly that harmutza is a type of dalat and not a type of cooking of a dalat. Maybe. We had that too. You're on.
Dr. Hele Commissioner.
Hanoder mi ma'asei kidera. Once again, I mean, this is just the. We actually went through the whole Mishnah before, so it's very strange, some of the printing effects here. It's just the introduction from the piece of the Mishnah that we had, but they got mixed up, so they printed the whole Mishnah first, and then they moved around to here. This piece of the Mishnah here, it's a little maddening, but we had it before. So, Hanoda Rimase Kedira, Inu Asuela Rimase Ratchaita. So, if somebody answers himself, the Maase Kedira means things that are very, very boiled down. So, either this refers to sauces that are reduced, as we said in the Mishnah, or they can refer to type of things that you start with a lot of water, like rice, and you keep boiling and boiling until you're left just with the grain. That type of thing, or Wheaties, or whatever. So, the Maase Kedera is a Ratchata. But, if you say Hayorit Kedera, anything that is done in a pot, in a boiling pot, is also, that's anything. And it's also, B'chol HaNasa B'Kedera, anything that you use the Kedera for, would be also. Tanya, the bright that expands Hanodim and Hayorit Kedera, Asur B'Yorit Le'ilfas. How do they translate Ilfas? Pan. What is a pan? It's like a frying pan kind of thing? Okay, anyway.
It means over there that they explain over there that it means
what's
that
over there?
Thing in the Orange Grove.
Oh.
You asked what the difference of ilpus was. Is that.
No, I want to know the word. I know what it does, but I just don't know what in English would be the equivalent of an ilpus.
Okay.
But I mean, so basically, the derech was the actual preparation of sauces and spices and so on would be in a pan. So either we just say pan fried, or even if it wasn't done in oil, it would still not be spread out through a lot of water, which is obviously not a very efficient way of giving taste to food. We would first soften it by boiling it and then put it into the pan. So therefore, if you're a yored lekedera, you're also a yored leilfas. Because shikvar yored lekeder kodem shiyored leilfas, you don't actually boil something in a pan. You boil it in a pot, and you move it to the pan. But if you asur yored leilfas, mutar biyored lekedera, because the other way it's not true. You don't first put things in a pan and then go into the kedera. Min ha-na'aseh bekedera, the lashon of na'aseh is mashba gemar asiyah. That which is made, meaning that is finished in the kedera. So then you're mutter b'na'asa b'ilfas. Min'ana'asa b'ilfas, mutter b'na'asa b'kedera. So over there, even though it had been in the other thing first, but it goes according to the Gemar. It's other roundings. Hanoreit, ha'inodir mena, yoreit l'tanur en osela b'pat. Usually a tanur is used for pitot. Those are the pitot, that's the way you use a tanur, is you put something on the side. If he says, Kum ma'aseh tanur alay asur, then you're also b'chol ha'nasim tanur. You can use a tanur the way we do, which is actually by putting things in it rather than sticking things on its side. But that would be hayored l'tanur. You'd have to lower it into the tanur and stick it on the bottom. So the kol hayored b'tanur, kum ma'aseh tanur, would be anything that's ma'aseh. Okay. Again, very difficult to translate this into local usage for us, because we don't prepare food in this way very often. Mina kavush, the closest modern equivalent would be if a guy says, I ask for pickles. Now, obviously, that could mean pickled meat, it could mean pickled tomatoes, but Since he says pickles, the general usage of pickles is pickled cucumbers, so we understand him to mean pickled cucumbers. In the time of the Gemara, and the Mishnah, so this hakavush, the Ran understands this to be a function of the hei hayidiyah. So you say hakavush, you're saying that which is generally referred to as the pickled food. The pickled food is pickled vegetables, or pickled tomatoes, or pickled cucumbers, and that's what that would mean. So eino aser element hakavush shel yerek. But if you don't say the hei hayidiyah, you just say kavush shani toim, that which is pickled. So then asur bekolak fushe, then you would be also anything pickled, pickled meats for that matter. Same thing is true of shaluk. So you say min hashaluk. Okay, that's a stew. Usually when people say stew, the stew is referring to a meat stew. So then eino aser min hashaluk shel basar. If you say something stewed, shaluk shani toim asur bekolak shalukim, and anything that's stewed, then you're referring to the mode of preparation rather than to a particular type of dish. And the same by extension to any local usage. Amalei Rav Acha, the Ran brings another alternative, which he does not like very much, that the difference actually is in the ani to'im, and not in the use of the hei hayidiyah. It's not the pickle, but it's the way in which you say it. If you say pickles, kavush, doesn't matter if it's hakavush or kavush, but pickles are awesome. But if you're going to say kavush ani ochel, then we translate that as saying, I won't eat pickled things. And pickled things would then mean any pickled things. So it would be the addition of the terms of I won't eat, which we understand doesn't refer to a particular dish. So here too, we would have two different ways of understanding the Gemara. Suppose he says dikavish. Dikavish. So according to the first approach, that it's the hei hayidiyah that's important, and if not, so the shaila is, how do we understand a dalet, dikavish, that which is kavush, is that a reference to that well-known thing which is usually pickled, referring to pickled cucumbers, or is it generic, because he didn't use a hei hayidiyah? The other approach, if the issue is that you say shani to'em or not, is whether dikavush would be the equivalent of saying shani to'em even if you didn't. Because you're saying that which was pickled, dikavush. What's nafkamina then if you said shani to'em? You're answering that which was pickled, dikavush alai. Okay, we leave that hanging. We don't have really a way out. Tiboy. Tiboy is teku, but as we pointed out in the beginning of the Masechta, we have Yerushalmi language here in the Dorin, because it was not a Masechta that was learned in Bavel for many, many years. You remember that whole discussion, right? I'm sure presidents don't forget. So, again, so let's just read this inside. If you say Dikavish Mai, or Dishalik Mai, or Ditsali Mai, or Dimaliak Mai, Hechimash. See, boy, keep asking, man.
It seems like there's not such a big solution now. It seems to have gone over the point of the usage of language.
As I said, this is a parak that's difficult to translate because you have to try to understand in the context of a language that you're in usage you're not familiar with, what level of diyuk you could make in your own local usage, and that's very, very difficult to do. So these latter prokem are harder to relate to. That's the same idea of the introduction of the Bar Kapara language issues, really. There's deeper questions there of Toeva. You know, in other words, the ultimate meaning of language, which becomes now your reaction. You know, so people view it as something that just means something, because they relate to it that way, but that doesn't mean that that's what the word means. It takes on a completely different meaning. So, you know, especially things that are closest to you that you have the most hang-ups about, you're going to translate it into something very personal, even though the language may not mean that. So when it comes to Nadarim, the same thing would be true. Your level of interaction with the language is very personal. Dear President? Min Hatzli Ela Osir and Min Hatzli Shel Basar. It's ending from a roast. The roast is roast meat. Dinner Rebbe Yehuda. Tzli shani toim, anything roasted, would be also b'cholat tzliyim. Again, the question over here would be, is it the hei hayidiyah, or is it the way that you phrased it? Min hamaliach Usually when people say the salted, they meant in those days like herring. So maliyav shanitoein, that which is salted, okay? It would be also b'kol ha-maluchim. If a guy says dog dagim shanitoein, so he's coming to aser dog, which is sold as a unit, that's a large fish. Dagim are smaller fish that are sold as rabim. So then he's asur ben ben b'gdolim, ben b'ktanim. And then it doesn't matter how they're prepared. It doesn't matter if they're meluchim, if they're tefillim, salted or unsalted, bein chayim, bein mevushalim. It doesn't matter whether they're plain fish or whether they're boiled fish.
Well, can you eat sushi?
Not if you say dagim shani torim. You'd be in big, big trouble. However, he would be mutter in sushi because it would be sliced thin, and dagim is mashmi, he's not answering himself with thin slices. So he's mutter b'tari trufa, which would be sushi, which is actually not. The taris is a large fish that they used to grind up into a fish, like a fish paste, anchovy paste kind of thing. Obviously not made of anchovy. And tzir would certainly be allowed to eat the tzir. Now tzir is a fish oil that has in it little pieces of the innards of the fish that you squeeze. It doesn't have fish flesh in it.
Brined?
No. That's murias. This is a mixture of brine with other things. Murias is pure fish oil. It doesn't have any piece of fish in it. Tzir is the brine and the little pieces that settle to the bottom, and which is basically innards. Noder minat sachana. That sachana literally means the stench. But they use the word sachana for little pieces of, they would have fish. It would smell to high heaven. But there you could have some whole pieces of fish, some little bit, depending on the minute. It would just mix all of the fish byproducts together, whatever they weren't selling. Then mix it. It was a mixed oily, fish oil, smelly, kind of little pieces of herring and pieces of tuna that got mixed up with actual small anchovies and so on. So then you would be also b'taris trufa, because that's certainly a chopped up things are the essence of the tzachana. So the fish paste would also be included in tzachana. But sir and murias, which do not include actual pieces of fish, but only the oil of the fish, and at the worst, the sir includes the oil together with the brine and with the innards, but it's still not flesh. So that's not what you're referring to in dag or dagim. So you would be therefore mutter in sir and murias, because that's not part of the tzachana either. Another mitiri trufa asur b'tzir b'murias. If, however, you say tirit trufa, so over there, since generally that would include also the pieces, we're not talking about, we're talking about the way in which it's usually marketed. So then you're going to be also usher in the tzir b'murias, although, says the Ran, I can't tell you the farish that you're either usher or mutter in the tzachana, because tzachana is a mixture, so you'd have to choose the parts that you're usher in. Some parts you'd be mutter, and some parts you'd be usher in. But the chiddush is that the tzir b'murias, that's a chiddush, because you might think that the reference is dafka to the paste itself, and not to the medium in which they sell it. Kamashma, that should be also there too. So how does this work exactly? The word dag, or the word dagim, I mean, we're saying here is a reference to sold and alone, or sold together. Now how about the word daga? Like daga as fish, that would be equivalent to the English fish. We don't have fishes, or shouldn't. Right? So if there's fish, and then there's dog, and dagim, where I can use the word as an individual thing that flows in the water. So Rav Shimon Elazar on there, dog shani toim. The guy uses the word dog, so then he's osur b'gdolim, but he's mutar b'ktanim. But if he says daga, so then he's osur only on ktanim, and not on gdolim. If he would say dag daga, so then he's also ben gdolim ben gitan. The Yerushalmi says one liter, which is about a pound. But we'll see in a minute. It's an interesting gemara. Omalei Rav Papa Labai, what makes you think that dag means gadol? I mean, I assume it's because it says in the pasuk, My the dog, Shani Terem Gadolu, the Hti Vaiman Hashem Dag Gadol Livloa et Yonah. See, when we refer to a big fish, you talk about a big fish, that's a dog, not a daga. But the problem is, it says, Vayitpalo Yonah Hashem Lagrime Hadaga. So you see that it's interchangeable. I mean, here the daga is also used as a big fish. No, that's not a kasha. You see, the Pasuk's trying to bring us to recognize that Yonah went through hell. I mean, he wasn't sitting there like Yishtapio, you know, inside of a nice fish with a little candle and having fun making puppets. That's not the point.
All the kids' books show
that way. No, that's wrong. That's the point. What happened over here is Dilma Palte Daga. They see first this big white shark swallows him, you know. So then that was some experience, let me tell you. He thought it was all over. Oh no. He spit him out, and then a little fish came in and swallowed him too. Terrible experience. Now you'll say, but he couldn't have been that little. If we're saying that katan is less than a liter. So it was big enough to swallow Yonah. So the Ram says, no, obviously here it means relative. In other words, you're trying to say that a dagado came, and then he's being mitpalel mitoch hadaga. It means he was getting a little bit too comfortable in the white shark, you know, so we'll make things tougher. So we'll have a daga, but it means, if I want to refer to something smaller, I'll refer to a daga. In context of a dog, you know, that swallows a person, obviously the daga is also pretty big. So this could teach us that maybe he had palte dagadolo bale dakatan. Okay, so I'll ask you from here then, okay? It says, Hadaga asher bayor meta. Okay, what does that mean? After the water turns to blood, the daga dies. What do you think? That only the little fish died, huh? But the gedolim, they kept breathing in blood. I mean, you know, the gills were very useful for the hemoglobin. That was fine. But not the ketanim. That's ridiculous. And obviously, daga is a general word to refer to the species, a fish, like we say in English, fish. It's true that that's what the word means. But again, people don't usually use the word daga. It's too poetic. So when they use the word daga, they use it to specify small fish. Hanoder minatzachana. Omale Ravina Luravashi. Here we have the same question we had before. Harea light sichin mai. Again, it depends whether we interpret the Mishnah's distinction as to being between a hea yediya and not, or shani ochel. So tzichin would be the equivalent of that which is how do we call tzachana. So tzichin would be an extension of tzachana, broader, anything that got that fishy smell, or is it really exactly a way in which we refer to tzachana? Tiboy, keep on asking. Omale bar kapor labar to the Rebbe, you're going to see, lemachar shetina chamer b'likuda de'avucha, de'avuch uber kirkerani de'imech. So what happened was, Ben Alasa was chatni the Rabbi, he was an usher brother. Asne ve'elula the Rebbe Shimon Berei. Omar le bar kapor le Rebbe. Let me ask something. My toeva. Call the Omar le Rebbe. The achinu toeva. Porcha bar kapor. Omar, okay. So tell us. Parshayat. Omar, no, that's a fez. Tete David. Atirmali not lacha. Ram yale. Omar le Rebbe. No, before I tell you now, you've got to dance a bit. Kum rekodli. Huh? Demalacha. Okay, Omar le Rebbe. Toeva. Toe ataba. Lekasach. Omar le. My teva. So in the end he gives up, says, you tell me. Amalei, no, you gotta do the same thing we did before. Avidli, the Amalecha. Avad, Amalei, Tevel, who means Tavli Neshba, Mishanya Hara Bia Minkula Biais. Amalei, Umay Zima. Amalei, you got it first dance. Avidli, Kinyana Kadma. Avad, I wonder if anybody else could get away with this, with Rebbe. You're a pretty serious guy. So, lo amalei, it means zo mahi. Lo yochel ben alasa la mizba. Come v'nof haku v'intide mitaman. That was the end of that wedding. My ben elasa, the Tanya, lo lechinam pizer ben elasa et ma'otav, la la'arotam tisporek shal kohen gadol dechtiv, tasom yechsemu et roshehem, Tanya ke'in lulinit, my lulinit, I'm going to be the taspark yechidat, hechidami, amarav roshar shazeb et sad ikar roshar zeb, I don't tisporek shal kohen gadol. Ubrilat har mutza, my dlat har mutza mashmo, kara karkuzoi, was Rav Ashi, no, it's just any dalat, which is tumuna baranet. How can you say it's not a species of dalat? If Rabbi Nechemi omred dalat aramiti, dalat amitzri, is kelaim ima yevanit and kelaim im harmutza to yufta. Hanonder mi maasei kedeira, en asur ela mi maasei ratchad. Omar konem ayore bekedeira shanitoin, also bechol anasa bekedeira. Tanya. Hanonder mina yore bekedeira, asur beyore leilfis. Shekvar yarad lekedera, kodem shiarad leofis. Mina yored leofis, mutter be yored lekedera. Mina nase bekedera, then mutter benase leofis. Mina nase leofis, mutter benase kedera, because over there you're going according to that which completes it, nasa. Hanoder mina yored le tanur, eno asura le bepat. Vimamar kol maase tanur alai, asur bechola naase betanur. Mina hakovush, eno asura mina kavush shoyere. Kovush, shanitoim also bechol hakvushim. Min ha-shaluk, eno also min ha-shuk shabasar. Shaluk, shanitoim also bechol ha-shukim. Omer le-ravach, b'reg rababi le-ravashi. Omer di-kovish, my, di-shalik, my, di-tzoli, my, di-maliach, my, hechimashma, tiboy. Min ha-tzoli, eno also min ha-tzoli shabasar, di-birbira. Tzoli, shanitoim also min kol ha-tzoliim. Min ha-maliach, eno also min ha-shabdag. Maliach shanitoim also bechol ha-mluchim. Dag, dagim, shanitoim asu bechol ben, ben begdolim, ben begtanim, ben memeluchim, ben tefelim, ben chayim, ben mevusholim, umutar betari trufa, ubetzir, ubemurias. Hanoder minat zachana, asur betari trufa, mutur betzir, ubemurias. Hanoder betari trufa, asur betzir, ubemurias. Tani Rebbe Shimon ben Elazar omer, dag shanitoim asu begdolim, umutar betanim, daga shanitoim asu begtanim, umutar begdolim. Dag dagash ani toim asur bein bigdolim bein biktanim. Amalei Rav Papa Labaya mimaid dag shani toim gadol. I assume it's tichti vayiman Hashem dag gadol livlo at Yonah vokti vayitpalo Yonah Hashem lokam mimei adaga. Alo kasha. Diyama palte dag gadol ubalei dag katan. Okay, I got a better question. Hadagash vayor meita. By the way, there's a famous kasha over here that's been running around for the past few centuries. Everybody tries their hand at this guy. Why in the world would the Gemara go to the second pasuk of Hadagah Shebayor Meita and not look at the first pasuk where Moshe is telling Paro Hadagah Shebayor Tavu? I mean, what was he saying? That only the Dagah Ktana will be Meita? What do we have to go to the end for? Anyway, אלא דגה משמע גדולים ומשמע קטנים מן הדברים הלך אחר לשון בני אדם. Lots of people have tried their hands on this guy, starting from Rav Shlomo Kluger, it's the earliest one that I know, but everybody's got something to say. הנודר מן הצחנה אומר מן הלבא שאומר הרי על ציחין מי תיבוי.
So Bhagavara holds that the